Hey everyone, welcome back. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Awesome. So today we're really getting into something I think we can all relate to, right? This whole idea of like, we want stuff, but also we got to protect the planet. It's kind of a,
It's a constant struggle.
a struggle, exactly.
Yeah.
And we're exploring it through Chapter 9, Faith and Consumption, from this book, Divine Conversations. It's by Stephen Scott. Have you heard of it?
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's got this really interesting premise, you know, imagining these six major religious figures, like all together in a New York City park, just chatting.
I know. It's like Jesus, Prophet Muhammad, Krishna, Buddha, Guru Nanak, and Moses all just hanging out.
Right, and they're talking about modern life, all the stuff we deal with.
It's pretty wild to think about, honestly. But it really works, especially in this chapter we're looking at. It's like, how do these different faiths approach this whole wanting stuff, consumerism thing?
Yeah, it's super relevant to all of us right now. Like, how do we balance that desire for the latest, greatest things with actually, you know, being responsible to the earth?
Totally. And the book dives into it from all these different angles, which is so cool. Like, there's this one quote from Jesus about how we're supposed to be stewards of God's creation.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, it's like a reminder that taking care of the planet is like a core part of faith.
It really
And you
is.
don't really get that message when you're like bombarded with Black Friday ads, do you?
No, not really. And it's interesting how that Christian perspective, it actually ties in really well with Jewish teachings too.
Well, really?
Yeah, like this concept of Baal Tashit, it basically means do not destroy, and it's all about avoiding wastefulness.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's like this ancient principle that's suddenly super relevant to our modern throwaway culture.
Wow, I'm already rethinking my online shopping habits. And the chapter, it actually uses this really relatable story, this mom who's trying to teach her kid to, care about the environment. But everything around them is like, buy more, buy more.
Oh, yeah, I remember that part.
It's such a struggle, right?
It is. And I think that's where the teachings of Guru Nanak come in, you know? Like, Sikhism has this emphasis on simplicity and fanchakna.
Fanchakna.
Yeah, it means sharing. It's this idea that what we have isn't just for us. We're supposed to share it, use it responsibly.
It's like the opposite of that. I need more, more, more thing.
Exactly. Like a total antidote to that mentality.
I love that. It makes me think about like the whole economic side of things too. Like, how do we balance economic growth with, actually protecting the planet?
That's a big one. And the book tackles it in some pretty unexpected ways. Like they actually bring up social media.
Social media.
Yeah. Krishna, in the book, he points out how social media kind of reflects our consumption habits. And not just of like stuff we buy, but even ideas. We're constantly consuming information, images, opinions.
It's true, we are. It's like,
It's a lot.
yeah.
And Krishna's point is, when we consume all that stuff without thinking, without being mindful, it can actually be harmful, not just to us, but to the world around us. Like spreading misinformation, getting caught up in drama, all of that.
It's whoa, food for thought.
Right. It's not something we usually think about, but it's all connected. Our consumption habits, our online behavior, the state of the planet, it's all part of the same big picture.
That is mind-blowing. So we've got Christian, Jewish, and Sikh perspectives on this whole consumption thing. What about the others? Like, what does Buddhism have to say about all this?
Well, that's where things get even more interesting because Buddha, in the book, he talks about how suffering actually comes from attachment. Yeah, like when we're constantly craving more possessions, more status, whatever, it creates this cycle of wanting that never really ends. And that cycle, it doesn't just hurt us, it hurts the environment too.
So it's about like breaking free from that cycle.
Exactly. It's about finding contentment, finding joy in what we already have, rather than always chasing after more.
That's powerful. I mean, it's easier said than done, right? But the idea itself is like really liberating.
It is. And it really challenges us to rethink our whole approach to, well, everything. Like, what are we really living for? What truly matters?
It's a big question. And I feel like this deep dive is just scratching the surface. There's so much more to explore here.
Oh, definitely. This chapter is packed with insights. We've got Islamic perspectives on moderation, Moses talking about environmental responsibility. It's all in there.
I know it's a lot to unpack, but it's so worth it. It's making me think about my own life, my own choices in a whole new way.
Me too. And that's the goal, right? To spark these conversations, to get people thinking, to maybe even inspire some positive change.
Absolutely. And I think this chapter does a phenomenal job of that.
Couldn't agree more.
So we've covered a lot of ground here, but there's still so much more to discuss. Like, How do these different faith perspectives translate into actual action? What can we do as individuals to make a difference?
Yeah, those are the big questions. And we'll dive into all of that in part two of this deep dive. So stay tuned.
You definitely don't want to miss it. We'll be back with more insights from Faith and Consumption and explore how we can all find that balance between our desires and our responsibility to the planet.
It's going to be good.
It is. See ya then.
See ya. Like, it's almost overwhelming, you know?
Yeah, totally. It's like, are we just supposed to, like, unplug from the internet and live in a cave?
Well, not necessarily, but maybe there's a middle ground, right? Like, maybe it's about being more mindful of what we're consuming online.
Okay, yeah. Like, being more intentional about who we follow, what we read, all that.
Exactly. Like, focusing on stuff that actually uplifts us, inspires us, instead of just feeding that, you know, desire for more, more, more.
So kind of like a digital detox, but based on like these deeper values of simplicity and sharing.
Yeah, I like that. A digital detox with a purpose.
It's like stepping away from the buffet table to actually enjoy the conversation, you know?
I love that analogy. And it actually brings up another really important point from the chapter, which is the whole issue of misinformation.
Oh, right.
Like, just as we consume material goods and online content, we also consume information. And when we do that mindlessly, well, it can be kind of dangerous.
That's a little scary, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. And the chapter connects this to this Jewish concept of Lashon Hara.
Lashon Hara.
It means evil speech. Traditionally, it was about gossip and slander, but now in the digital age, it's like a whole new ballgame.
So it's not just about what we buy, but also what information we consume and spread.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that our words and actions online, they have real-world consequences. And we have a responsibility to be truthful, to be discerning.
Hmm. Like, even a small action online can create this ripple effect.
Right.
And contribute to, like, a whole wave of misinformation.
Right. It's about being aware of that power we have. But shifting gears a bit, the chapter also dives into the economic side of things. Like, how do we make a profit, you know, run businesses, but still protects the planet?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It is. And the book explores it through this conversation between the six religious figures. Each of them offers a different perspective on how to balance economic growth with, you know, our responsibility to the earth.
So, like, what are some of the key takeaways from that conversation?
Well, one big theme is stewardship. Like, a lot of the figures emphasize we're not just owners of the earth's resources, but caretakers. We're supposed to preserve them for future generations.
That's a pretty big shift in perspective, from consumer to steward.
It is. And the chapter connects this idea of stewardship back to Baal Tashit, you know, that Jewish principle we talked about.
Yeah.
Like, wasting resources, it's not just bad for the planet. It actually goes against our duty to care for creation.
So it's not just about, like, reducing our own personal footprint, but also about advocating for bigger changes, right? Like, policies that prioritize sustainability.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that change needs to happen on multiple levels, individual, societal, even global.
Yeah. But it can feel so overwhelming. You know, like, where do you even begin?
I know what you mean. But that's where the wisdom of these different faiths can be helpful, I think. Like, take Guru Nanak's teachings on simplicity and Vanchakna. It's about finding joy in sharing, in community, rather than just accumulating stuff.
Right. It's about shifting our values, recognizing that real wealth isn't just about possessions. It's about relationships, connections.
Exactly. And then there's the Islamic emphasis on moderation and balance. Like, there's even a verse in the Quran that says, eat and drink, but waste not by excess, for Allah loveth not the wasters.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
It is. And the chapter goes beyond just these abstract principles, too. It actually highlights specific practices and rituals from different faith traditions that can help us live more sustainably.
Oh, like what?
Well, one example is fasting. It's common to a lot of different faiths. And the book argues that it can help us develop a deeper appreciation for food, for our connection to nature. Like, it's a way to reset our relationship with consumption.
Hmm. I never thought about it that way. It's not just about deprivation. It's about gratitude, mindfulness.
Exactly. Mm. And the chapter also talks about spending time in nature, like actually immersing ourselves in the natural world as a way to cultivate reverence and respect for the earth.
I love that. There's something so grounding about being in nature.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it helps you connect with something bigger than yourself.
Totally. And that sense of connection, it's crucial for fostering a sustainable mindset. Like, when we feel connected to the earth, we're more likely to care for it, to make choices that honor its well-being.
It's like that saying, we protect what we love.
Yeah.
So it's not just about changing our habits. It's about cultivating a deeper love for the planet.
And that love can lead to action. both individually and collectively. Like, it can inspire us to make more sustainable choices, to support organizations working for a better future, all of that.
It's like this chapter is not just critiquing our consumption habits, it's offering a path forward. A way to create a world where both people and the planet can thrive.
Exactly. And it reminds us that faith, in all its forms, can be a powerful force for positive change.
That's really inspiring. I mean, it's kind of wild, right? Like, all this ancient wisdom, it's still so relevant to our lives today.
I know, it's crazy. Like, who would have thought that, like, Jesus and Buddha would have something to say about, like, our iPhones and all the stuff we buy on Amazon?
Right. It's pretty amazing. And what I really like about this chapter is it's not just, like, pointing fingers at the problem. It's actually giving us some real ways to, you know, move forward.
Totally. Like, we've talked about stewardship and simplicity, moderation, connecting with nature. It's like all these powerful ideas, but like, how do we actually put them into practice?
Exactly. Like, what can we do right here, right now, to make a difference?
Well, the chapter actually gets into that. It talks about like how faith communities are doing some really cool stuff, like working on environmental projects, promoting fair trade, advocating for, you know, those who need it most.
So it's about like thinking bigger than just our own individual choices.
Yes, exactly. It's about recognizing that we're all connected and like using our voices and actions to create change on a larger scale.
It reminds me of that story in the chapter about the businessman trying to make his company more sustainable.
Oh, yeah.
It's like change can happen at all levels, you know, like from personal choices to like big companies, even government policies.
Totally. And the chapter highlights how faith can be a real driving force behind those changes, like providing that moral compass, the community support, you know, the motivation to really tackle these big issues.
It's like that quote, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world.
Yes. And faith communities can be those citizens, working together to build a more just and sustainable world.
That's a powerful message. But I think it also like challenges us to look inward, like at our own habits, our own choices.
Definitely. It's like, what are we truly hungry for? What brings us real joy? And are our choices aligned with, you know, our values and our responsibility to the planet?
Those are big questions. And honestly, I think they're questions we all need to ask ourselves, no matter what our beliefs are.
I agree. Because ultimately, we're all sharing this one planet, and its future, it depends on what we do.
So this chapter, it's not just about religion, right? It's about like how we want to live, how we want to be in the world.
Exactly. Like, do we choose a path of like just taking and consuming, or do we choose a path of balance, sustainability, and sharing?
It's a choice we make every day.
Yeah.
With every purchase, every click, everything we do.
Yeah. And this whole deep dive, it's given me a renewed sense of like my own responsibility to make those choices carefully.
Me too. It's like a wake-up call in a way. But also, it's inspiring. Like, there's so much we can do.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what's really amazing about these divine conversations is that they spark a dialogue. It's not just about the book itself. It's about how these ideas play out in our own lives, in our communities.
So before we wrap up, I want to leave you, the listener, with one final thought. What's one small change you can make today to shift your own consumption habits, or like create a ripple effect of positive change in your community?
Remember, even the tiniest actions can make a difference. Buy less, waste less, connect with nature, speak up for what you believe in, live with intention and gratitude.
It's not just about saving the planet. It's about saving ourselves, our communities, the future. It's about creating a world where everyone can thrive.
And that's definitely something worth fighting for.
Absolutely. Well, that wraps up our deep dive into faith and consumption. Thanks for joining us. It's been an amazing conversation.
It really has. Thanks for having me.
And to all our listeners, until next time, keep seeking, keep learning, and keep diving deep.